You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
406, and like I said, we've been doing this series on all these great tourism regions in Montana, and they're all really cool. I mean, there's all, and I love this state, and I know you do too. There's something special about all of these places, Southeast Montana, Yellowstone Country, we did Southwest Montana, and on. We haven't done that one yet. I think we're getting to that one. Missouri River Country, Central Montana. Today, it's Glacier Country. And holy cow, they've got things going on up there. Let me tell you a bit later on, the River City Roots Festival in Missoula. I lived in Missoula for 30-plus years, been to this. It's a really cool event. I have not been to this chain carving championship in Libby, Montana. I ought to go. That sounds darn fun. We'll be talking with Troy Doudhit. I think that's how you say it, or Doudhit, a bit later on here. And also the event at Rebecca Farm, which is in it's in Kalispell. And this is an equestrian event that's, it's serious. Cross country, show jumping, dressage. And so Sarah Broussard's going to join us here a bit later on here. As a matter of fact, very shortly. So we're going to roll them through. We got a lot to talk about here. We're going to start off first with Lucy Bigley. She's the public relations manager for Glacier Country Tourism. And good morning, Lucy. How you doing?
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing well. Thank you.
What'd you do for the 4th?
You know, I stayed in Missoula. I'm based out of Missoula, and there was a lot going on in Missoula. So I went to the farmers market and went to some of our fun restaurants and then watched fireworks from up on the hill.
Cool.
So it was lovely.
Yeah. Did you get near the water? Did you jump in somewhere?
I didn't get near the only my sprinklers.
That's fair enough. Hey, thanks for being here. I appreciate this. This is always a kind of a fun series that we've been doing here and talking about what's going on in Glacier Country and Glacier Country tourism. So, Lucy Bigley, what's going on in Glacier Country?
What's going on? Well, let me first of all just tell our listeners what Glacier Country actually is. Glacier Country is much more than just Glacier National Park. We actually are 8 different counties. In Northwest Montana. So I'm going to be talking all about Northwest Montana because there's lots to do here that is not Glacier National Park. So in Glacier Country right now, gosh, we have so much going on. And you mentioned the 3 major events that we're going to be talking about today. But we also have lots of events going on all the time. Every day of the week, you'll find a farmer's market in one of our small communities. We have 75 different small communities in Glacier Country, and farmer's market going on any day of the week or any evening of the week. Some of them include live music. Some of them, they all include food trucks. Very fun. We also, of course, have lots of waterways and lots of lakes and fun things going on in all of our lakes, which is a fantastic way to cool down right now. It looks like it's going to be in the 90s here all week long. So lots of stuff going on our lakes and rivers here in Missoula. We, of course, have the Wave, which is a fun play wave that is right downtown Missoula on the Clark Fork River, and you can actually go and surf the wave, or there are lots of people who just sit and watch the surfers, so that's kind of fun.
You can actually get in there and just sit on the wave, too.
Have you done that, Tom?
Yes, I have. Yep. That's allowed,
fantastic.
Right? That's allowed, right?
Okay. It is allowed. Okay. I've never done it.
Yeah. No, it is cool. But you do it in lower water, though. You don't do it in high water there. So how do people pick where to go and what to do? If you're 406 in Glacier Country, how do people pick?
How do people pick? That is a great question. So on our website, which is glaciermt.com, we have an events calendar. And you can pick any day this summer and just pick on it and see that we have a symphony in the park going on, or there might be live music at the amphitheater, or there might be the event at Rebecca Farm up in Kalispell. So we have different events that are going on constantly here. Huckleberry festivals, cherry festivals up in Polson. We've got art festivals in Big Fork, for example. So click, go to glaciermt.com and click on our events, and that can help you narrow.
How has everybody weathered the pandemic, the fact that we haven't had our Canadian friends, which are, I think, a big part of our tourism here in Montana, you know, able to cross the border and visit their homes even, for that matter?
Surprisingly well. We actually have, we're having a very, very strong tourism season this summer. Even though people are not coming from Canada, a lot of people in the U.S. opted to stay in the U.S. and not travel to Europe or other places that they might typically be visiting this time of year. And so we have people from all over the U.S. flocking to Montana, in part because we have wide open spaces. And so on the tail end of the pandemic, that still sounds very appealing to people, that they have room to spread, can be outdoors, that they can be hiking, that they can be on our rivers and lakes. So we are an appealing destination right now, both for in-state travelers and for out-of-state travelers.
So what do you know about this event at Rebecca Farm?
Gosh, I know that there's a lot I don't know. It's, I am not a horse, but this sounds so exciting to me. And I think that Sarah is going to be joining us soon to tell you more details, but it looks like there are different equestrian events, and it's the largest equestrian eventing competition in the United States. It's been going on for quite a number of years now. And there are vendors from all over the Northwest, and so you can have fantastic food, fantastic drinks. There are events for kids, there's pony rides, face painting, arts and crafts. So lots going on. It's not just watching horses and riders do their thing. There's quite a lot going on, and it is a few day event. Let's see, it goes from the 21st of July until the 25th of July.
Been going on for 20 years. Sarah Broussard, organizer of the event at Rebecca Farm. So Lucia says that there's things going on there. Come on, there's nothing going on at your event.
No, it's a really quiet weekend here. You know, we just kind of hang out. Yeah, as Lucy said, this is our 20th year. And we just keep getting bigger, keep trying to improve, and keep moving forward.
Well, so what is this event? I mean, like you say, 20 years. It's an acclaimed equestrian event. For folks who aren't familiar with what an event is, let's go into this.
Well, eventing is considered the triathlon. It's a triathlon, shall we say. And it starts out with dressage, which is performed in a smaller arena in front of a judge, and each movement is scored out of 10. And dressage basically shows the harmony between horse and rider, the training of the horse, the talent, the submission, all of that, which is very important in proving that your horse is well-trained. All of this comes from, it originated in the military, in the cavalry, and dressage was a way for them to prove that their horses were obedient, could do, you know, like parades and stuff like that. And then we go out on the brave part of the sport, cross country, which now you have horses galloping around the fields, jumping over solid obstacles, through water, up and down banks, over ditches, basically everything that could have been encountered on the war field, because these in the military horses were used on the battlefield. And then we go into the show jumping phase, and that is usually the final phase. Sometimes it is the second phase. And here you're jumping jumps in an arena, and the rails can fall down, so the horses really have to be careful going over these jumps. And that shows the fitness and the stamina of these horses being able to run dressage and then cross country and still come back and do one last day over show jumping and leave all the rails in the cups. It can be very difficult to find a horse that can be successful at all of that. And we are lucky at the event. We see hundreds of them. They're beautiful. They're magnificent. And truly are amazing with what they do, especially on the cross-country phase.
And the cross-country phase, as I'm reading off the website, it's Rebecca Farm with the two C's, RebeccaFarm.org for this event. The cross-country event, I'm reading here that the rider is the only one to have seen the course prior to the competition. That kind of makes it tough on the horse.
Yeah, so that shows the trust that a horse and rider have with each other. The rider has been out, they've walked the course, they understand the course, they know how to ride it, because, you know, each jump you need to ride in a slightly different way, so they learn how to balance the horses, and they have a plan. So when they leave the start box, the horse is thinking, okay, my rider has a plan, and I trust my rider. So then they're brave and bold and do what's asked of them.
How long does it take to train a horse to do this?
Well, it depends on what you consider fully trained.
Right, yeah.
We have levels starting at novice, which is almost an entry level into the sport. And when you look at novice and the courses and what's expected of the horses, almost anyone and any horse can go out there and do it. It's a level designed to bring new people into the sport, have them be successful, and then as they move forward with their training, they move up the levels. And when you get up to the top levels, the four-star, close to the Olympic level, you're dealing with maybe 15 people, where at the novice level you have 150. So, you know, only the bravest horses continue to move on, and also the bravest riders. But it can take years to solidify that relationship between horse and rider. Sometimes it just takes a few months. It depends on the horse. It depends on the rider. But definitely the horses that we see here have been through years of training with their rider and in order to be very successful.
How long have you been part of this? Because it's been going on for 20 years.
Yes, it has been going on 20 years. This was a vision that my mother had. She wanted to bring a facility, a competing facility like this to the Northwest, because there, 20 years ago, there were no sites like this in the West. And she felt it was unfair to Western competitors that they didn't have access to an event of this level, because in the East, they have lots of them.
All right, Sarah, stand by. I want to get more on this. I want to talk about the 8,000 spectators that take part in this. And also, you've got a Halt Cancer fundraising event this year at the event at Rebecca Farm. So back with... In just a bit, we're going to go from horsing to chainsaws. Horse, that's what happens in Glacier Country, okay? We're 406 in Across Montana. One of our six distinctive tourism regions is Glacier Country. Lucy Bigley is with us here, and she's the public relations director for Glacier County, Glacier Country Tourism. We're also speaking with Sarah Broussard, and Troy Douthit's going to join us here in just a bit to talk about this championship carving event, which is pretty cool. Hey, Lucy, I wanted to ask you, an event like this, the event Rebecca Farm, 20 years going strong, 600 world-class riders and horses for 5 days, 8,000 spectators. I mean, does this define Glacier Country Tourism?
You would think it would, right? Yeah. But we have about 20 signature events that take place in Glacier Country every year. So this one is one of our many fantastic events we have going on.
8,000 spectators, Sarah. I mean, how do you keep track of all that?
Well, there's a lot on the grounds for people to do. We have an amazing shopping fair, lots of local artisans, and it's not all equestrian related. Lots of different things that you can get for your home, jewelry, all that sort of thing, not just horse-specific things. And then, of course, we have tons of food trucks, so lots of choices there. We have a program called Pony Up, which exposes kids to horses and how to groom them, how to saddle them, how to feed them, that sort of thing, for, you know, kids that aren't growing up on farms anymore. That used to be very common, and it just isn't so much anymore. So I think that it's great for some of these kids to kind of have that experience. And then, of course, there's all the spectating that can be done. The cross-country course is long and wide and through fields and stuff, so you can go out on the course and actually get closer to the jumps and watch that way. You can watch from the side of the arena for dressage and show jumping. So there's lots of options for people to choose from when they come out to enjoy the event.
So it's a five-day event. Does the dressage, the cross-country, and the show jumping kind of go on simultaneously, or does everybody compete in the dressage first and then the cross-country and show jumping?
Well, each individual person goes to dressage, then cross-country, then show jumping. We have so many competitors, we have to have multiple days of each event. So we actually have dressage on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then cross-country Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and show jumping Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Wow.
So there's a couple days where we got a true three-ring circus going on with all three disciplines going simultaneously.
It sounds like as your mother began this event, you've been involved in it in a lot of years. What has been your experience? What has been the experience of the event at Rebecca Farm? How has it grown? I guess I'm curious, you've probably grown relationships with many of these riders over those many years and have seen them increase in their ability for eventing.
Yeah, it's great to see, especially when children grow into adults and in the sport. There was a young gal here the first year we ran, and unfortunately she fell off of her pony out on cross country, but that little girl came in the office and thanked us for having such a wonderful event. And that just kind of stopped my heart right there. And that young girl is competing at the top levels now and being very successful. So that's one example, but there are lots of examples like that. Even adult amateurs that start out later in life and become successful. It's just great to see those kind of relationships happen, throughout all of our competitors with all their horses.
Does that make all the work worth it?
It does, for me it does, and for my dad it does. We're very thankful to be able to offer this to the competitors, and thankful to the competitors for supporting us as well. And, we just keep looking to improve. We improve our cross-country courses, over the years. We started, our first event had 262 competitors, and now we're, close to 600. So, the event itself has grown tremendously. We draw competitors from California and Canada, obviously, as well as the rest of the Northwest. I get to meet a lot of people from different places, and that's always fun. And I always joke that as a horse owner, as a competitor, I could call, if I were traveling somewhere and had some issues with my truck or trailer or whatever, I could call someone and find someone who's nearby that I could either go to or have help me.
Yeah.
So it's a great network of friends. We're a very close-knit community.
Fundraiser for cancer. I hate cancer. Cancer plane sucks.
Yep.
And you guys are doing a fundraiser.
Yes. It started back in 2012, shortly after my mother passed away. And I wanted to bring the event into another level, bring it into society a little bit more. And I tried to think of something that we could do to make that happen. And I figured at that point in time, with my mother's death being fairly recent and so many people that loved her, I thought that people would really get behind a breast cancer research fund. And I've been floored by the support that the competitors and other members of the community have for Halt Cancer at X. It's great. We fortunately raise lots of money for local organizations as well as national research programs. So it's pretty exciting to be involved in that and to see the grant applications that come through and what the different organizations do for cancer patients, for cancer survivors, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's exposed me to another world of people. So that's fantastic, too. I work with some great people. We have a board of some local people as well as doctors and such. So it's opened up new doors for me, and I think, obviously for a lot of other people who are dealing with cancer.
Well, thank you for doing that. Appreciate it. The event at Rebecca Farms, July 21st to the 25th, so it's coming up. RebeccaFarm.org for more information. And again, best of luck. Have fun. We might check in with you while that awesome. Event's going on. It'd be kind of cool.
That'd be awesome. I'd appreciate that.
All right, that's Sarah Broussard. Troy is standing by. I wonder if he's got a chainsaw. Troy Douthat. We'll talk about this this championship carving event upcoming this fall as we return with more here, 406 in Glacier Country, right after these headlines. Yes, that's a chainsaw. Anybody ever operate a chainsaw? Man, there's power in that thing. It can be kind of dangerous, too. I mean, you have to learn how to do this. Anybody ever carve anything with a chainsaw? Oh, I don't even know how you do that sort of thing. 20 of the world's finest chainsaw artists are going to be in Libby, Montana for the 2021 championship. And part of that, well, let's see, what's it called? The Kootenai Country, Montana International Chainsaw Carving Championships. And it's been going on for a few years as well. As we are 406 and in Glacier Country, Lucy Bigley is with us, public relations for Glacier Country Tourism. And now welcoming Troy Douthat, who I guess runs this championship. Troy, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. Appreciate you being on the program. Let's talk about what this championship is. I mean, start off. It goes on in the fall. But do people actually carve on site and are judged?
Yes, they do. All of the competitors carve right down the middle of Main Street in Libby. Our local city council has graciously allowed us to close that area off so we can have free access to, the public can have free access to watch the carvers perform, watch the art as it goes from just one raw log into these amazing sculptures.
Lucy Bigley, do you ever get phone calls at Glacier Country Tourism about, hey, where can I go watch a chainsaw carving championship?
You know, I can actually say that I have never received a call like that, but I am fascinated to hear about this. Troy, do people come from all over the U.S. to carve, to do chainsaw carving? Where do people come from?
Yes, all over the country and all over the world. We have every year, we try for a mix of 10 international carvers and 10 U.S.-based carvers. So California, Oregon, Washington, Pennsylvania, all over the country, and then countries as far away from us as Japan, Mongolia, England, and many, many more.
That just sort of floors me.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does everyone start off with the same size log, or do you request a certain size, and what type of things do people create?
Everyone starts with exactly the same log. They're all 8 feet long by 3 feet wide, and turns that one log into the masterpiece. And they create... I almost have no words for how creative they are and what they can accomplish with that.
Stand by, because I'm gonna ask you to find those words, Troy, because this is one of the cool things I think about Montana is that there's a lot of artists in the state as well, and some artists work with chainsaws, for crying out loud. So we're back with more. We're 406 in Glacier Country here today on Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today.
Oh, my stars. You should look at some of these carvings. Just go to carvemontana.com. Where else would you go? And see what these artists are creating. There's bears, a lot of big bears. They start off with, I think, what did Troy say? A 3-foot by 8-foot log. Look at this bench. Holy cow. What is that, a big dragonfly? There's some mountain lions. These are really cool. Again, go look at these photos. And welcome back from Montana for Montana's Voices of Montana. We are 406 in Glacier Country. Lucy Bigley, public relations for Glacier Country Tourism, with us here. And also Troy Douthat. He's the executive director of Kootenai Country Montana Foundation. And he's also the owner of, let me find it here, just a page back, the Montana Country Inn. And that looks like a pretty cool place too, MontanaCountryInn.com. But we're talking about this carving championship. It's an international competition. As Troy was saying, there are folks from Japan, Mongolia, Moldova, the Ukraine, the 12 states are here for this. Troy, again, and Lucy, thank you so much for being here. Let's just launch off into these creations. I've seen some notes here that you have the artists are doing a masterpiece, one masterpiece, over 4 days, and then they're also doing some quick carve pieces in created in about 1.5 hours. So this is a competition. Talk about how you manage a competition.
Well, yes, it is a competition. In fact, we have really tried to set ourselves apart from all of the other chainsaw carving events in the world by offering one of the richest prize purses of anywhere, over $15,000 just in judged prizes, as well as then auction proceeds. All of the pieces that go through the auction are split between the carver and the foundation. We really try to treat these guys like rock stars because, as you see from their work, these guys are the top of the class. And those smaller quick carve pieces are really fun. They carve those in 1.5 hours. It's a timed, separate carving every day. And what they can come up with in 1.5 hours is just phenomenal. And then all of those pieces that are created end up going through the auction.
Lucy, go ahead.
So if I'm a spectator, then I can actually purchase one of these pieces at the end.
Yes, absolutely. We have auctions on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The quick carve pieces created before Sunday are all auctioned off on those days. And then the masterpiece carvings and the last day's quick carves go through the final auction on Sunday.
They do. That's great. And Troy, what is it that judges are actually judging on? What criteria are they basing it on?
Execution, use of the materials, creativity. There's a fairly substantial requirement. And we do have 5 judges that are impartial, and this really, they put a lot of effort into the judging to make sure that we're rewarding the right people.
$15,000 in prizes. So that does attract some of the best talent in the world. Do you have some local talent there?
We have a guy actually out of Big Fork. In fact, they just had a chainsaw carving contest down in Polson, and he won it. Todd Coates.
So does he come in as the favorite then?
No, not necessarily. Yeah. He's never won here, but you know, some of the stuff that has won, it's just mind-blowing. Some of it, you know, they can turn a log into something that actually looks like taxidermy. It's so finely detailed.
That's fantastic. And Troy, how did the chainsaw carving competition end up in Libby?
Well, we've had our foundation for the last 6 years. We created it with the idea of how do we bring tourists to Libby, especially during the shoulder seasons. And when we thought of, okay, what's very fitting with Libby is being a lumber town, timber town, it really was a natural fit. And so it really is part of our culture here, along with giving the people of Libby something to enjoy. So not only tourists and spectators from out of the area, but locals too.
So a 4-day event, spectators, is it free admission?
Free admission. It's just everybody can come down and mill around, feel free, browse the local downtown businesses. That's one of the reasons we located it downtown, was to draw people down there and show them what we have to offer in Libby besides just events.
And so then
go
ahead, Lucy.
Sorry. Troy, if I come to Libby to go to the chainsaw carving carving competition, tell me one of your favorite things that's not the chainsaw competition. What's one of your favorite things that I can do in that area?
Honestly, the lakes. I just spent a couple days up on Kookanusa. It's gorgeous up there. It's so wide open. You know, you can come here and not have to fight with crowds or anything else. It's just so wide open and peaceful here. You know, we have 2 million acres of wilderness right outside of our back door, tons of hiking and fishing, but boating's my favorite.
Sweet. Hey, Troy, appreciate that. 4 days, the world's finest international chainsaw artist. Is there like an amateur competition too?
No, there is not.
Yeah, just
this is strictly the best of the best. And we did that because, well, for logistical reasons. For one, you know, Libby is a fairly small town, and we don't want it to grow beyond the size we currently have.
And the but there's also some risk in chainsaw carving. How are people qualified to do this safely? How do you maintain safety at these events?
We have a fairly strict safety guideline as far as crowd control. The carvers are professionals. They know exactly what they're doing. And we've had over 60 applicants for this year's contest alone. So Wow. We really get to go through everyone with a fine-tooth comb.
Nice. Well, that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to catch up with you during this event, too, September 9th through the 12th in Libby, Montana. The Clash of the Carvers for 2021, fifth year going strong. The Kootenai Country Montana International Chainsaw Carving Championship. Troy Douthat. Hey, Troy, thank you for what you do there. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll take a break and come on back. Lucy Bigley is still with us here, public relations with Glacier Country Tourism, as we're 4:06 in. It was Kalispell, the event at Rebecca Farm, and then this chainsaw championship up in Libby. How about now the River City Roots Festival? That's been long going, too. 15 years. We'll come on back and talk with Kristen Sackett after this. Some Voices of Montana. Tomorrow's Jay Bodner with the Montana Stock Growers Association will be discussing a recent finding from the BLM that regards the American Prairie Reserve and their initiative to reclassify bison from livestock to wildlife. So that's with Jay tomorrow. We're finishing up here our tour, our 4:06 in virtual tour of Glacier Country, Glacier Country Tourism. That's glaciermt.com. Lucy Bigley is a public relations director there. Now let's welcome Kristen Sackett, marketing and events director for the Downtown Missoula Partnership. And this is all about the River City Roots Festival. You can check that out, rivercityrootsfestival.com, missouladowntown.com. Been going on 15 years. Kristen, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you this morning?
Hanging in there. So 15 years with this River City Roots Festival. Did you guys even imagine the kind of event that it would be when you guys put it together 15 years ago?
I'm sure there was a dream, but I mean, dreams are that for a reason. You want to dream big and go big or go home. And I think it started as a way to just bring people to downtown and bring a little life and celebrate the community we love so much. And here we are 15 years later, a 2-day festival. It started as a 1-day festival with mostly local regional bands. And now we're getting national touring acts, Grammy Award winning acts. It's just amazing to see how much this event has grown over the years.
Yeah, what makes it a festival versus just a street dance?
Well, I think, you know, it's not just music. We have an art show. We have a family fun fest on Saturday. We have a run. And, of course, local food vendors and local drinks. So it's really just it's a festival celebrating the heart of Missoula and what Missoula means to the community. And it's really all about celebrating Missoula. It has its own unique flavor. If anybody's been to Missoula, you know what that means. And so there's so many aspects of Missoula that we want to celebrate, and that's what Roots Fest is. And it's a good time in the streets of downtown Missoula.
Lucy, have you ever had a good time in the streets of downtown Missoula?
I have had a good time. In fact, I've had a good time at River City Roots Fest. It's one of my favorite events of the year. The streets all get blocked off, and there are events for families and live music, and it's just a happy time. And August 27th and 28th of this year, I am thrilled to be heading down to the River City Roots Festival again.
Okay, not all the streets get blocked off, right, Kristen?
Correct. Yeah, we just have a few streets. It's West Main Street and Ryman. Those are the only two streets, but then we also have Caris Park, which is a big center point for our community. It's really our community square where everybody comes together, and that's where we hold the family fun portion on Saturday, and then the run goes through the streets of Missoula. We will cross the river because how can you not involve the river in some way with a River City Roots Festival? So, and they run through our community and through our neighborhoods and come back and end in downtown. So, yeah, there's only a few streets blocked off, but there's so much to do beyond just the festival area. So people can walk around downtown and shop and eat and just really experience everything that Missoula has to offer.
Who are the bands this year?
Well, we have a lot of great bands. Our big headliners on Friday night is Super Chicken. He's out of Missoula, Mississippi Delta area. An amazing artist. He makes his guitars out of random items he has in his home. I think people are going to really, really love him. And then the headliner Saturday night are the Little Smokies, Missoula's own homegrown band. They're pretty large in the bluegrass world these days. So those are just a few, but we have also Soul Driven Train, Rapid Grass, Growling Old Men, Hot Buttered Rum, Sally and George, the Timber Rattlers. And then we also really focus on making sure that the kiddos and the families have a good time. So Saturday we have the Salamanders playing for the kids, at 12:30. And then on Friday, what's become a really amazing, tradition is, the ZAC, the Zootown Arts Community Center here in downtown. They have a rock band camp for kids in the summer, and those kids work really hard. They create a song and then they get to play on the Roots Fest stage and open the festival. So we're really all about community with this festival and at the Downtown Missoula Partnership. So those are just a few of the things you can see. I mean, like I said, we have dozens of artists, we have amazing local food, and of course local drinks. So it's a good time. If you want to come dancing and have a few cold drinks in downtown Missoula, it's the place to be.
Free admission?
Free admission, yes. It's one of the big missions of our organization is to make sure downtown is accessible for everybody. So not only is River City Roots Festival free for anybody to attend, but our other events, we have Out to Lunch in Downtown Tonight all summer long. So if you happen to be in Missoula anytime soon, make sure you hit those up, also free to attend. So come on down and get some dancing done.
What kind of comments do you get from folks around the country? Because I know it draws people from all over. You must be getting some feedback from them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, one of the cool things in, you know, that some of these bands really have really intense followings. People will go all over the place to see some of these bands that we've had over the years. And they just can't wait to come to Roots Fest. We have people from, I get comments on social media every year, people from Oregon, they come every year. We've had people, a couple of years ago, we had the infamous String Dusters play and they were headliners. We have people flying and driving in from Tennessee and North Carolina. And they love Missoula. They love coming to this festival. It's just such a wonderful, magical place. We all know that and feel that in our community. We all know how special Montana is, and to showcase our community to people from all over the country and get the positive feedback that we get. It's just such a great feeling. And so we love when people come to our little corner of the world.
What kind of COVID-19 precautions are you taking for this outdoor festival?
You know, at this point, you know, it's we are, of course, monitoring the situation. We do not have any requirements for face masks or anything along those lines. We will have hand wash stations. We will probably make some minor adjustments. But right now things are looking really good and really safe, and we're feeling really good about having a festival that you might have seen in 2019. So, but we'll of course monitor and make adjustments if needed. But we hope that everything remains safe and open, and we can just enjoy our community and camaraderie and in downtown.
Yeah, that's the good news there, certainly. Kristen Sackett, Marketing and Events Director for the Downtown Missoula Partnership, RiverCityRootsFestival.com for more information, MissoulaDowntown.com. Lucy Bigley, any final thoughts here?
I do have some final thoughts. For those interested in other events in Glacier Country, you can go to our website at glaciermt.com and click on events, and you can see events that are in the entire region for the entire year.
Well, the people are cool, the events are cool, and Glacier Country tourism, pretty dang cool, too. Thanks for being on the program, both of you.
Thank you so much.
All right, and we'll be checking back, too. I mean, this is why we love our state. It's unique. Every every area of it. And so we'll continue to explore these events as we continue on here. It's From Montana for Montana. My thanks to Eric Young, our in-studio engineer. And tomorrow, as I mentioned, Jay Bodner with the Montana Stock Growers Association. I'm Tom Schultz. Be well. See you Wednesday.